Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Welcome, my friends, to another show. We brought a guest on last week. I thought that was very successful. I loved it on every level. I'm going to be doing this more often. But what I'm after is I will bring people on the show if they pass my inspection. Because one of my platforms here is to get really good service to you. And I just don't mean good intention, I mean good technique. Very important. I, across four educations and still getting educated in formal schooling, have suffered. I have suffered through chiropractic educations, acupuncture educations, nutrition educations, and now the more formal ones, not just from college, but on the grad level, because education doesn't really give you reality. And we suffer from that out in the field clinically all the time. So we say it's a matter of experience. And yet in this hodgepodge of help we call holistic medicine, all too often, and I'm going to bring a couple of guests on the show to tell their story of what's not about evil chiropractors and evil nutritionists. Everybody, almost everybody's well-intentioned. But when you really look at how we mix it all up in an integrated fashion, you see the problem we're facing in holistic medicine and what we've got to evolve to over the upcoming years, you see, because we're being competed with by very, very powerful possibilities. Genetic engineering and all that it offers, cloning, parts replacement. We project that eventually, my teachers project soon, sooner than later, in our lifetimes, we'll take out bits of the organ and grow your own organ outside your body and then implant it back in. And I'm sure we're going to see these things happen. And who can argue with that when a loved one is on the verge of death, when they're facing emergency medical crisis? It's not the herbs that'll do it in that moment. So there's a lot of good potentially that can come out of these things. But that's what we compete with, in a sense. We compete with it. And we have to get our own integrated system working. And that's kind of the purpose of this show, to see if you can learn to integrate. So I'm going to tell you a little story, and we'll see how well you do, because that's the concept here. This is show number 20. I hope you're going to the website. I hope you're listening to the shows time and time again. This is a different forum. It's not what herb you take for the symptom forum. And although that works often enough, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that for a lot of you. So here's what I did. I went out last night with a friend, and it was my friend's birthday. And he wanted to go to a particular place, an Italian restaurant. Of course, I didn't. I don't like the carbs, as you well know, but I went. And then I went, and I had a little bit of red wine. And then I went to Pots on it. I said, what the heck? It's been a while. It's the end of the summer. It's Labor Day weekend. I'm just starting school again. I fasted the last month for the most part, so what the heck, it's my friend's birthday. And I went to town. And this morning I woke up, and I could feel, and this is what the show is about, brain function. The show is about brain function. I could feel a cloudiness in my brain from all that garbage from the night before. Now, I could feel that cloudiness. I could feel it. Can you feel it? You see, so number one, are your sensors turned on? If you're going to have brain function, and if your memory is going to be sharp, and mine better be this week, because I'm back there in class with those 18-year-olds memorizing chemical formulas, just like I thought I'd never have to do again. That's right. Still back there with students in their 20s. I'm 50. They're 20, 25. My brain's got to be sharp. Your brain's got to be sharp. You want that second childhood. So do I. I've got plans. I'm not letting my age stop me, and neither are you. We're the new generation. We're the baby boomers. Your grandparents, mine, when they hit 50, they were ready to just retire, sit in a chair. You can't retire anymore. Many of us have to work till we're 70. And what's this about retirement anyway? Really, is it about retirement or fulfilling your vision? Is it about finding your contribution? And you haven't found it yet. Many of you have it. Many of you sit at night and wonder why you're here and what your purpose is. Well, I'll tell you something. The healing arts, for me, have been a journey to find my purpose. You see, our purpose, our service, isn't necessarily given to us when we're little kids. For many of us, it doesn't work that way. For many of us, our talents have to mature. God has to open his hands from the sky and lead the way. Your spiritual journey is what evolves to your contribution. Well, my contribution is I'll take this PhD in chemistry, my fourth hard education. And I've got to have a sharp brain. And last night I went out and dulled my senses. So I woke up this morning. One, I could feel the dehydration. A little bit of alcohol dehydrates. If you drink coffee, it dehydrates. You must hydrate. There's a meter inside yourself. And if you hydrate correctly with the waters or the sparkling waters or the juices, a trigger will go off when you eat poorly and you're dehydrated. So this is my little set of tricks now. I want to bring you in to the physical reality of putting it together. And I felt my brain lose its edge. And that means, and you guessed it. I know you guessed it. I hope you guessed it. Coffee enema. So I got up and I did the coffee enema. And I know just how much coffee to use. I know how much I use because I experiment with the concentrations. When you don't use enough, you don't get the release you want. When you use too much, your intestines cramp and you don't release at all. Again, it's a sensibility based on a relationship with a technique. It's a sensibility based on a relationship with a technique. The coffee enema is a gift. I'm not going to go into the details because the details are in the literature. But the perception of how to dance with it, to contour it to you, that's what's variable and that's what I teach. So I did this enema and I made the coffee extra strong. And I went in, and I released, and I stretched, and I bent my sacrum underneath. In other words, I pulled the lower abdomen in, lifted up my rib cage, pushed out, okay, my lower back. So the slope of the lower back went in the opposite direction, and I lifted, and I could feel my intestines lift. Can you understand what I'm talking about? Can you understand that when you do an enema and you sit there statically and not moving, you may not get the bonus? And what's the bonus? The release. The release is that yellow-green fluid that you hear me talk about all the time. When you do an enema, a coffee enema, can you stretch out the tensions in the sacrum, the backbone? Can you pull in your lower abdominal muscle and push out the lumbar spine between the sacrum up to the first lumbar vertebra, say 5 inches up, that area between the belly button and the pubic bone? Can you push it out by pulling the abs in? Can you lift the rib cage simultaneously? Can you move the intestines around? Do you massage your intestines after that coffee water's in there? Yeah, you're going to be concerned about how much coffee to put in, what to put in the coffee. Is the coffee organic enough? This, that, the other thing. Guys, that's the easy stuff. Follow the directions. The story of the coffee enema is what I did this morning. I mastered the enema years ago. And so when I dumped, my brain got sharp. I could feel the chemicals coming out of my brain. Because when you eat bad, that's where those chemicals go. And that dulls your intelligence, your memory, your depth perception, your consciousness, your connection with God. And when you feel that come out, if you understand what I'm saying, and if you don't, this is what you do. You practice until you get the bile out of your body. And my neck loosened up immediately. And I started to feel those endorphins, those God chemicals, fill my brain. And my brain got warm. That's a trick. You have to have that trick in your toolbox. And then there was breakfast. And breakfast was 3 raw eggs. It was 3 raw eggs, fertile eggs. Eggs from a farm. What farm? There's lots of farms that produce eggs. Fertile eggs, meaning the rooster and the hen had sex. And they made an egg. And that egg is stronger than the unfertilized egg. And that egg is darker in color. That yolk is orange. It's orange red. And that egg combined with 2 other eggs. And then the coconut cream. Oh, how do I open a coconut? Go on YouTube and Google up how to open a Thai coconut. They're easy. They take a minute. And I scooped out that meat and I poured in that liquid. And I blend it up, and now I have the coconut cream. I have the 3 eggs at room temperature. And the eggs are seasoned. I season it with a little bit of Tabasco and a little bit of soy sauce, unpasteurized soy sauce. And those eggs go down fast. And they disappear fast. Within 15 minutes, the egg is gone, and I feel it in my brain. The lecithin in the egg, the cholesterol in the egg, the B12 in the egg, the complete protein in the egg, the fat in the egg, fat for my brain. I feel it all. And then the coconut cream, the essential fatty acids from the coconut, that fantastic gift we call the coconut. Cultures have existed solely on the coconut. The coconut is a gift from God. It's brain food. And it goes into my brain after those toxic chemicals come out of my brain. And then I lie on the massage table. And my assistant comes and she pulls my neck. She pulls my neck. She wraps something around my neck. And we'll talk about cervical distraction later. In other words, what we all need to do to enhance brain flow. And she pulls the neck with a specific technique we'll talk about. And she pulls the neck and my upper cervical spine, the C1 vertebra, the first vertebra that your skull sits on, and the second vertebra below it as you pull my neck. And I've got 17 and a half, 18 inch neck. I have a neck like a pit bull. I have a big, thick neck. My grandmother had a 16 inch neck. I'm from southern Italy. Those people there, they're wide. I think they might be part Neanderthal, and I don't mean that in an insulting way. These people have bone structure unlike anything I've ever seen. Calabria, where the beaches and the sand is pink. These people are strong. And I trained my neck, as big as it is, so that when somebody pulls it, it cracks. It doesn't crack like the chiropractic crack when they twist your neck, which can be very dangerous if it's not done correctly. But a safer one is to have somebody learn to cervically distract, gently pull the neck, and if you're good at it, you'll hear those same cracks. And the minute I get those cracks, I take a breath, and there's more blood and oxygen in my brain. And that crack is deeper because I finessed that coffee enema. And those nutrients from the coconut cream sourced correctly. And the eggs sourced and prepared correctly fill my brain. And I start getting sharp. My eyesight clears. all these ideas about my show fill my head. That's what I want you to understand. So while you're sitting there thinking about the possibility of senility, of Parkinson's, of Alzheimer's, of the fact that you can't remember where you are half the time. What did that person say? What was that person's name? What's that phone number? Darn it, I can't memorize things like I used to. All of it. There's solutions for this. But we got to get inside it. You can't read it off a sheet of paper. That's why you listen to a show like this. Anybody can read the directions. You see, but when you talk to people who do, who live, who have experience on the inside track, and then they look out there and watch others do, and they see how they miss, how often these things are missed. Cervical distraction? I barely ever meet anybody that understands how to do it. Coffee enemas? How many of you understand the bile experience? How many of you do the coffee enema, and if you do it, get bile? Is that concept part of you? And this is my point. We've got to take these things to you so that it turns into reality, not just paperwork and ritual, mechanistic ritual. That's the problem with holistic medicine. It turns into mechanistic ritual, things you do and you didn't attach to the result. You simply did them as a matter of routine. Like an actor. An actor gets a script and he reads the script. Do we call that acting? No, we don't call that acting. We call that reading a script. The audience says you're reading the script. That's not acting. Well, what is it when you stick a tube into your body, fill it with coffee, wait 10 minutes and have that coffee come out? That's poor acting. That's just reading a script. What is it when you swallow globs of olive oil and have no sensibility about how many stones came out, about the fact that they're not stones, they're bile balls? About what your body's really supposed to feel. Is it feeling it? Now, the brain. Oxygen. That's easy. So if you're anemic, right? If your hemoglobin's low, if the molecule in your blood that's got iron at the center of the porphyrin ring that grabs the oxygen in the lung, if that iron's not there and you have iron deficiency anemia because you bleed too much every menstrual cycle, or you don't eat any absorbable iron, you're a vegetarian and you haven't figured out how to compensate, or you do eat the meats, but the meats are well done, and because of that, the iron doesn't dissolve. You know, one of the main reasons people don't have good memories is they're iron deficient. And write this down or listen to the show again. If your hemoglobin is borderline and they tell you you're normal, like your hemoglobin's 12. If your ferritin, your stored iron, so the liver stores iron. The liver sucks the excess iron out of the blood and holds it. It's a storage bank. That's why the panther, the cougar, the leopard, when they kill the antelope, the first thing they eat is the liver. One of the functions of the liver is that it stores everything. Vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin D the liver has, iron the liver has. The liver is chocked with everything, essential fatty acid. It's chocked with glycogen or glucose. It's got amino acid. The liver is the first organ that gets fed as you digest through the portal vein. The point is, the liver stores iron in the form of ferritin. Stored iron is ferritin. And if that ferritin isn't in abundance, and your iron or your hemoglobin is borderline, when you get stressed out because you have to do whatever, climb a ladder, fix the flat on your car, mow the lawn, your hemoglobin can dip temporarily. In other words, in that moment, the normal number that they say is okay at 12, the borderline number, which is still normal, and so you leave walked out saying, oh, I'm fine. No, you're not fine, because under stress of life, the hemoglobin, because of the iron, will dip, and you don't have that ferritin reserve. So anemia, iron deficiency anemia, by not eating enough cherries, beets, red meat, rare, organic, grass-fed beef and lamb. Please put that at the top of your list. Organic grass-fed liver. Or some natural iron supplement. But whatever you do, understand that if you're borderline anemic, you don't grab the oxygen in the lung. And if you don't grab the oxygen in the lung, what organ eats more oxygen than any organ in your body? The brain. The brain is a hog. It takes per unit time more blood, more oxygen, more glucose, more of everything. If you take off the skull of somebody and you look at the brain in surgery, as I have many times, it's dancing. The brain dances. You think of the brain as static. The brain is not static. The brain is moving. It's pulsing. It's breathing. The brain has a rhythm. That's called the cranial rhythm. The cranial rhythm is different than the heart rhythm. It's different than the breath rhythm. There are rhythms in the body. There's frequencies in the body. The brain has its own frequency or dance. And it's pulsing and moving and laughing and creating and destroying and organizing and telling every cell in your body what to do. So the brain is busy. That's a busy factory, and it sucks up more oxygen, more blood, more glucose or sugar. Now, the question is for you at 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, God bless you, 100 and 110 and 120 and 130, and we are going there. Yes, we are. We've got the tools. But then again, we have the other side of the coin. We're not going there because the world looks pretty polluted to me. The topsoil's gone. You've got to get into secret organizations to get healthy food. We've got to relearn what we once understood. But here's the point. As you age, your brain takes in. It gets less oxygen. It gets less blood. It gets less fat. It gets less of everything. Things clog up. And so the brain, when the cell is sitting there going, feed me, love me, nutrify me, fertilize me, give me what I need so you can talk to God better, clearer, more easily. So you can produce those endorphins and feel great in your life. When the brain doesn't get it, and it still has work to do, it inflames. It begins to fibrose. Again, show number 3, stress and inflammation. Those cells up in your brain when they're not fed, and why they're not fed, we're going to get into in a minute. But when they're not fed, they inflame and they fibrose. They build scar tissue inside and outside the cell in different chemical pathways. And that's fibrosis, scarring. And it happens when you're very young and it continues right up to senility and beyond. Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, pick your type of fibrosis, strokes. Common to the degradation or the destruction or the dissemination of every healthy cell, the bit by bit taking one healthy brick out of the cell after the next is the story of life. But in the brain, you suffer more because the brain is on a very tight schedule. The brain does not forgive as easily because the brain is under so much responsibility. And the minute this fibrosis starts, anything can happen. And we don't want that to happen to you. I don't. Dr. Marshall doesn't. and every well-intentioned practitioner there is doesn't want that to happen to you. And yet it does. The number one reason. I'm going to get to the nutrition if we have time later. But what I want to get into is the structural shift. The shift in structure that occurs from the time you're little. From your wedding picture. When you and your husband, mate, and union under the eye of God. If I ask you for those wedding pictures and I look at you, and then I ask you to come in and I look at you at 70 or 80, your head is no longer in alignment with your cervical spine. We call it anterior head carriage. You get that hump at the base of your neck. We call that aging. We call that a natural phenomenon. That's what happens when you age. It doesn't have to happen. It is completely and totally preventable. And it is one of the great causes of cerebral brain memory decline. It is one of the drivers of this. It contributes to every disease of the brain. Because once your head shifts forward, and you know what I'm talking about, once your head shifts forward, you're basically looking at the ground. Shift your head forward, and you'll notice if you just do it intentionally, deliberately, your eyes naturally go to the ground. It's like you're walking around looking for change on the floor. You know the guy that walks and his head's down? In New York, we say he's looking for dimes. People walk like this all the time. But they don't, right? You don't. Because even though your head goes down, what you do naturally, your natural instinct, is to pull your head up. But if your head's forward and you pull it up, okay, so I want you to get that. The head goes forward as you age. Your eyes naturally look down, but you're not going to do that. Your brain says that's stupid. So it pulls your head up, and that's what crunches the back of your neck. So I want you to get that. Brain, blood, oxygen, essential fats, anterior head carriage. You're looking down, but that doesn't make sense. So you naturally, you don't know you're doing this, but you pull up. That's grandma. You see, if you look at grandma's head and her buttocks at 20, they're in a straight line. Then if you look at grandma's head and her buttocks when she's 80, the head is about a foot in front of the buttocks. The head's shifted anteriorly, but granny's not going to look down. She's going to cock the head back, and that crushes the upper cervical spine. The back of the head, when you scratch the back of your neck, if you're a little overweight where that fat pad is, that's where your first and second cervical vertebra are. There are very important nerves, the vagus nerve. That's cranial nerve 10, the vagus nerve. Your vertebral artery. That's a lot of blood flow to your brain through those arteries. Once the head goes forward and you look down, but you pull back, you crush the back of your neck, you crush the vagus nerve, and you crush the vertebral artery. That structural shift costs you oxygen. It costs you blood. It's why we say as a person ages, there's way less blood and oxygen going to the brain. Why haven't we made the connection? Well, Ida Rolf did in the 20s and 30s. Pilates did. The Alexander technique did. There's lots out there in holistic medicine that understands anterior head carriage. Chiropractic understands it. Question is, how can we finesse this intelligently and give you a real tangible sense, a real participatory sense? I don't want this just to be a chiropractic adjustment. I don't want this to just be a little stretch occasionally to your neck. I want you at 60 or 70 to reverse the cervical curve, to take your head and put it back where it belongs. To learn to stretch, check the show on dynamic exercise. We've got 20 shows up on the archive. Get on them. You can download them on your iPod, whatever that means. I don't have an iPod, but my web designer says you better get that worked out. So I did. So those of you who have the iPod, whatever that foreign instrument is, alien technology, who knows, download it to your iPod while you're driving so you can listen to the show within the car. StraightTalk.cc. If you're new to the show, wow, if you're new to the show, what this must sound like. StraightTalk.cc. Get on the website. Sign in. Okay. Anterior head carriage, crushing the vagus nerve. Put your hand on the back of your head and feel those protrusions. Put your hand on the back of your head and feel those protrusions, like Simon says. Feel those protrusions, those two bones. Those are the occiputs. And underneath it, where it dips in, is the suboccipital space. And if you take your hands and you go to the midline, so the back of the neck where the fat pad kind of is, where the crease is the occiput in the suboccipital space. And those spaces, okay, get crushed. And when they get crushed, you lose big time. Big time. Now, what pulls the head forward? Okay. There's muscles in the front of you. In other words, why does your head go forward? Because there's two muscles in the front of your neck. And here's a concept that we've been through before. There are two muscles in the front of the neck called the scalenes. S-C-A-L-E-N-E-S. Scalenes. And the scalenes, if you choke yourself, no, just kidding. But if you pretend you're choking yourself and you press in to the muscles around the carotid artery, meaning where you get that pulse in your neck, again, it's lateral or to the side of the midline of the front of the neck. Just to the side of the midline of the front of the neck, you can feel a pulse. That's the carotid artery. That's the big daddy. That's the mother lode. That's what really brings most of the blood to your brain. Those carotid arteries. Well, just outside the carotids, if you press in, so you're not choking yourself, okay? So you're not cutting off blood supply or oxygen. You're not pressing into your Adam's apple. You're off to the side, but if you press there, it's tender. I guarantee it's tender. Please do it. Press in to your scalenes. Those muscles are tight. They're tight and they're short. And you never stretch them. And you don't know what happens when those muscles are short and tight and you don't stretch them. If you don't stretch them so that your head lengthens, your neck lengthens, over time, you start to look older. Your posture changes. Your head starts going forward, and that process begins. So, let's get a concept here. The muscles in the front of your body, from the scalenes to the pectoralis muscles to the psoas muscle to the rectus femoris in the thigh, the muscles in the front of the body, if you don't stretch them, they pull you forward. And then the muscles in the back have to pull you back the other way. And there's all sorts of distortions that occur because of that. That's what we call structural stress. Your bones, from the top of your head to your feet, should be aligned so that if all your muscles were stripped away, your skeleton would stand on its own. Here's a concept. If you really had the correct alignment like you did when you danced in your teens and 20s, or played sports in your teens or your 20s, if you took yourself at that age and you took all the muscles off your bones, your skeleton, ideally, theoretically speaking, and almost in reality, would stand just because of its alignment. That would not happen to you at 60. or 50 or 40 or 70? You would tip which way, backward or forward? What do you think? You got it. You would tip forward. Just the fact that your head has shifted forward would cause you to shift forward. Your weight has moved to your toes. Your shoulders have slipped forward. Just because of the breasts, the gravity and the breast will pull you forward. Your belly will pull you forward. All these things will pull you forward. So why don't you fall then? Why don't you fall when you walk? Because all the muscles in the back, from the back of your neck to between your shoulder blades, to your mid back, to your low back, to your buttocks, to your hamstrings, to your calves, to your Achilles tendons, are in a constant state of contraction to pull you back. That's called structural stress. Don't ask me what to do about that, or I'm going to fall down right in the middle of this show. I will fall down if you ask me, because you know what to do about that. You get flexible. You stretch the scalenes, those muscles just to the side of the carotid arteries. You stretch the pectoralis muscles. You stretch out the diaphragm. You stretch the psoas. You stretch the quadriceps. Back it up to show number, 15 or 16, dynamic exercise. So you got to get these scalenes stretched. And if you stretch successfully, you will start to feel your head in a new position. Now, to that, you've got to add some degree of cervical distraction. Go to your chiropractor, please. Go to your massage therapist, please. Find one. As soon as I get the time, which may be never, but I am trying, I'll assemble lists, if you're really stuck, of people I trust. I hope some of you went out there and made contact at ellenhead.com last week. We had lots of calls. She had lots of contact. It was fantastic. I trust her. And anyone I bring on, I trust. And that's a concept. So if you need this as a resource, we're going to evolve it. But if you've got your chiropractor, if you've got your massage therapist, if you've got your sports trainer, ask them to teach you how to stretch the scalenes. Ask them to teach you how to pull the neck. Have your loved one learn to gently toggle the neck, or go out and get a cervical decompression machine. And they range anywhere from $100 to $25,000. They're fantastic. It's a concept. That inversion table, the inversion table you guys hear about, if you learn to finesse that, and again, that takes a little bit of doing. If you investigate it and evolve it and finesse it, when you use the inversion table, just as you're slightly tipped, not upside down, but that's what I do. I go upside down with it. I put the thing up between two desks, go upside down with it, and then have someone yank my neck. Don't do that. Do not do that. Unless you're very skilled at it. But I do. And my neck pops. And the blood goes to my brain. But don't do that unless you're very skilled. Take an inversion table and tip it just a little bit back, just so you feel comfortable, and have someone gently toggle the neck. So you start to feel what it's like to release those areas, because the occiput, that's the bump in the back of your head. And if you follow that bump underneath, it becomes a dip. That's the suboccipital space. And then just take your fingers to midline, the center of the spine. That area gets compressed and scarred and adhered, and you don't get oxygen and nerve supply in or out. Use the inversion table. Use a cervical distraction kit. Use your massage therapist. Use your chiropractor. Use what works to do what? Feel the release. What's the release? Well, what's the release with a coffee enema? That's when you do it and it feels great. That's when you do it and bile comes out. That's when you're not just reading the script. You're participating in the action because you've got the knowledge and the experience. Learn cervical distraction. So when someone pulls your neck, you get the cracks because you've stretched, because they have good technique, because you know what you're looking for, because you've evolved it over a period of months. And then you have another tool. Health is a toolbox. It's a toolbox we bring to life every day to meet life's stresses. It's just a toolbox. And if you're really good with tools, magical things happen. You'll start talking to God in an even deeper way. It's okay to say, right? There's a connection between godliness and healthiness. So health is a toolbox. You bring those tools to love your body, and you celebrate those gifts with God because he designed it all. It's a concept. So we've got cervical distraction. We've got learning to stretch. We've got your massage therapist that's going to go in there and dig out those adhesions. You've got that experience mastered now. You know what it is to get up off the table and go, I don't know what it is, but my head feels clearer. You've stretched to the point where your scalenes have lengthened, and someone says, wow, your neck seems like it's opening up. Like your head is where it's supposed to be. Because if it's not, anything can happen. It's bad. It's bad. Osteopathy, cranial osteopathy, chiropractic, Rolfing, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, the whole world honors the fact that when your head shifts forward, you're setting yourself up for trouble. You see, the problem with science, man, I eat it every day. The problem with science is that science wants to go in after you have the disease, after you've got the Parkinson's, after you've got the Alzheimer's, after you've got senility in your head, after you're 70 or 80 and you don't know where you are, and you finally got to go into the doctor and start crying because you can't function. You don't know where your wife is anymore, or she doesn't know where you are anymore, or you can't remember your grandchildren. We wait for that to happen, and then we go in, and some smart researcher says, Mr. Smith, you've got just age-old senility, or this is an early sign of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, or you've had mini strokes in your brain, any of these things, and we're going to devote the smartest minds in the world at Harvard or Yale to research, and we're going to study that mechanism. And as we study the mechanism, we're going to isolate that one step along the way, and we're going to interject something, okay, a genetically engineered drug, some sort of gene therapy, this, that, or the other thing, and we're going to stop it. Good luck. Good luck, science, with that perspective. Why aren't we looking into the cell long before it gets sick and trying to figure out what went wrong, what system that the body would have used to prevent it didn't decide to use? Why aren't we using all these smart young people for that? That's what's wrong. And I'll tell you why this is insidious, because you know what, guys? Over the next 20 years, we are going to cure nasty diseases. We are going to gene splice. We are going to do miracles. Western medicine will do miracles. And I thank them for that. But with that paradigm, with that perspective, every miracle you create, you'll create 10 new problems. So we may cure Alzheimer's and we may cure Parkinson's, but we will make 10 other diseases. The paradigm is wrong. It is disrespectful to God to go into the cell and not honor the mechanisms that God put there. That is what's wrong with science. So Stephen Hawking says there is no heaven. Who the hell is he? Who is this jackass? That pisses me off. And I'll tell you why. Because that's what's wrong with science. I work with these chemists. men in their teens, 20s, they haven't got a clue. Not a stinking clue. There is no heaven because I'm a physicist. What the hell is that? He's a putz. I go on record saying he is a putz. Wow. I actually got pissed off on the air. Well, he deserves it. You bring that to the world? That there is no heaven? Because you're a physicist? Stephen, wake up, man. You will never be Albert Einstein. Never. Head trauma. If you've ever had head trauma and or your bite is off, be careful with that. When you have head trauma, right, you set up these interference fields. These interference fields will twist your upper cervical spine, your first and second cervical vertebra. They'll twist. When they twist, they'll twist the arteries, the vertebral artery. They'll twist the nerves. They'll compress them. The head and neck get locked in the trauma. They don't leave the trauma. So if you've been knocked unconscious, if you've broken your jaw, somebody needed to do the right kind of physical therapy. They did. Did they? Do we even understand what physical therapy is? I don't want to get into it. I don't have enough time. I wish I did. But the concept is, if you've had head trauma, think about that day and ask yourself, was my life different after that? Because that's one, and you got to search yourself. That's as close as I can get it to you right now. There's other ways, but they're not, I can't get it on the radio. We need seminars for that. But the concept is, if in fact, okay, that cervical spine has become distorted due to head trauma, you'll note your life was different after that. Something changed. You got fuzzy. You had more neck tension. The trapezius muscles, those muscles we call the shoulders that are not the shoulder, between your shoulder and your neck are this big wad of muscle called the trapezoids or trapezius muscles. They're tighter after that head trauma. Something changed, you bet. The whole skull, your cranium, it sits on top of the first cervical vertebra. Atlas and axis. We call the first cervical vertebra the atlas. You know, Atlas, he holds up the world. So that guy holding up the world, that guy is your first cervical vertebra. And it holds up your head, the world. And your head can shift and rotate incorrectly on top of that first cervical vertebra. They scar up and they move as one unit instead of separate units. That's bad. And worse than that, or just as bad, I should say, the first and second vertebra, C2, the axis. So C1 is the atlas, C2 is the axis. The two things fuse up. All the little fascia, the connective tissue in there, fuses up. And now your neck moves like one big block. There's no separation or isolation between the head and the neck. There's no isolation between the head and the neck. And that's the end of brain function. These head traumas add up, on top of which are the teeth. Remember, that cranial rhythm, the pumping of the brain, the pumping of the lymph of the brain, called the cerebrospinal fluid. The brain doesn't have lymph, but it has cerebrospinal fluid, spinal tap. You remember the white, clear fluid, the clear, milky kind of fluid. We call that cerebrospinal fluid. It circulates through the brain. and it circulates in relationship to the bite. The symmetry of your bite sends a force to the maxilla bones, to the ethmoid, to the sphenoid, to the ventricles of the brain, and that pumps the brain. Oh, if I can ever get this computer graphics done on my website, we can add this in. It would be fantastic for you guys to really see what the ventricular system is. It costs a lot of money to do those things. The real way these things should be taught is in computer graphics. Or get on the web, the internet, and look up ventricular system of the brain and get a 3D graphic on it. But that's what's controlled by the bite. So when we've got bite problems, asymmetries, when you've lost your teeth, when we've got dislocation of the cranium on the vertebra, we got two big problems. Here's a third one. Your brain is in direct relationship to your sacrum. Craniosacral therapy. Sacrum occiput. Your backbone, guys, way down low, and your brain have a very interesting relationship. Ideally, if you contract through the anal sphincter, we said this last week, the vaginal muscles, the muscles in the perineum, the bladder, all of those muscles should send a pulse up to your brain. You should feel it. I say these things, I wonder where they land. I wonder where they land. Do you think I'm making this up? These things are true. When you contract in the perineal area, you should feel a pulse go up to your brain. The sacrum and the brain are in relationship to each other. You cannot feed the brain unless the sacrum is mobile. The sacrum is under the control of the tone of the muscles in the lower abdomen. It's all connected, isn't it? It's really a lot more involved than what herb do I take for brain function. But you can do it. I know you can do it. We are doing it on this show. It's easy education. It's the inside track. I've been doing it for 20 years with people, getting you the inside track. So add this to your understanding. That's sacrum. If that sacrum is flexible, if you can pull in, because you have the tone in your lower abdominal muscles, the sacrum bends. It goes forward. It starts to curve to the front of you. Your low back pushes out because your low abs push in, and your sacrum tucks under. That's called the sacral pump. The sacral pump. Chiropractic. Yoga, Pilates, stretch classes, they all get this. It's out there. Question is, can you have that experience? Are your quadriceps, your thigh muscles, flexible enough so that your psoas displaces backwards? Is your psoas lengthened enough so you can get mobility down in the pelvis? Go to show on dynamic exercise. You've got to get the lower part of you pumping so the upper part of you can pump. All levels have to be pumped. The lower level, the mid level, and the upper level. That spine has to be flexible like a snake. Okay, bad analogy. Whatever you want to call it, but a snake is actually an amazing example. Those of you who are not flipped out by snakes for whatever superstition, and I understand it, certainly they're weird looking. But nonetheless, if you watch a snake move, when that thing lifts itself up before it strikes, that's one darn flexible spine. When that thing shoots at light speed to bite or whatever it's up to, it's moving at light speed because that spine is flexible. That's the dancer. The young dancer is like that. And that sacrum and that low area, as it has its flexibility, it will communicate with the upper cervical spine. So that from down low to up top, there'll be a flow, a circuit, a pumping mechanism. You can feel the patency. There's that word, patency. You can feel the patency of that craniosacral flow. If you can feel that patency, if you've progressed to the point where you can, this is not hard. This is not difficult. It's not. Understanding it is a lot of fun and it's entertaining, but you don't have to understand a darn thing. Animals do this in nature all the time. Your cat's always stretching. And we talked about your cat a while back, didn't we? And how you pet the cat and how the cat's doing yoga all day long. Its legs are behind its head. It's stretching, it's twisting, its spine is flexible. Animals understand this. People understand this too. Pre-industrial people, pre-technology people, people that lived off the land in communion with God. You see, nature, the universe, God talked to them. Is God talking to us? I wonder. We think he is. We say he is. Well, if you want to make that connection better, fix the body. Because we already know, and here's the association to science once again. Once you get this craniosacral thing worked out, you start making brain chemicals, endorphins, dynorphins. Look up dynorphin, D-Y-N-O-R-P-H-I-N, dynorphin. It's 200 times stronger than morphine, and we make it. God's put gifts inside us like no one else. We are truly in his image. But he left us incomplete. Otherwise, we'd have nothing to do. Ask him why he did that. It's not for me to say, but I can provide this for you. Health is a path to God. So get on it. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. It's been a pleasure. We're getting better and better and better. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.